Self-care. It's such a deep, layered word, and for me, it's really become the process of getting to know yourself, showing up for yourself over and over again. In creation of the Self-Care Creature podcast, I want to teach you, too, how to have a relationship with yourself. We're going to dive into the psychological and physiological unfoldings of adopting what I love to call a self-care lifestyle. This podcast is here to help you, the stressed out but spiritually minded individual who can feel that wild calling in your heart, who wants to develop self-care rituals to support your daily living, give you the confidence and know-how to live through your intuition and raise your self-worth. You deserve it. You are capable of this. And I want to help you understand how the hell to get there, what it actually means, and how do you actually live it. That's where my intention is with this podcast. The Self-Care Creature Podcast, brought to you by me, your host, Courtney Klopp. Let's dive in.
Hello, creatures. Before we dive into today's episode, I just want to take a quick moment to remind you that this podcast is often not recorded or posted in real time. And the same goes with this episode. The reflections in this episode come from a place of growth and self-discovery. And to kick things off, I tend to get a little rambly and mix up the difference even between identity and experience right in the beginning. But hey, that's all part of the self-care exploration, right? Now, I want to provide a brief content warning for today's episode. This episode touches on some deep and meaningful topics, including experiences with depression, anxiety, navigating the world, and even a mention of suicide. These are important discussions, but they can be emotionally challenging for some listeners. If you think these subjects might be triggering or upsetting for you, please take care of yourself and consider whether you're in the right headspace to continue listening at this time. Your well-being is top priority. Please take care of yourself. And for those of you who feel ready to embark on this journey with me, invitation to grab your favorite beverage, settle in, and let's explore the reservoirs of hope together.
Hello, friends. Today I am coming in talking to you about depression and reservoirs of hope. And this is an off-the-cuff podcast episode, as they usually are. That was my intention in starting my podcast, is I just get these ideas of things I want to talk about sometimes, and here we are. I had a sickness that I was living with last week, and it's all very much up in my sinuses now, and I know that you can probably hear it. My ears are still stuffed up, so if I sound a little off, that is why. Thankfully, I'm feeling good. Aside from that, I'm not actually sick or achy or anything like that. Just a little bit of a head cold. And so I had this really big epiphany for myself that I identified this last weekend. And I've determined that I am in a depressive state. And it feels really good to just acknowledge that and to say that and to know that that's okay, that it's okay to not be okay. It's especially okay to not be okay in a world that is very not okay. And so that was really great to be able to be at a place now in my life where I can see that for myself and I can kind of like scoop myself up, so to speak, and just be like, oh my gosh, like how can I support myself? How can I be gentle with myself? And it kind of takes this pressure off of like, oh my God, why do I not feel like doing anything? Why can't I fucking get into the habit or the routine or just pick myself up? And it's like, oh, because I'm facing depression at this time, a depressive episode. And I've realized too that I very deeply identify with depression and anxiety. I am depressed. I have anxiety. I have depression. I'm trying to shift the language between saying I am versus I have, or I am experiencing an episode. Because I'm realizing in this language I'm noticing with myself at this time, that is the language I have
and the narrative I am carrying with me in my life. I am a depressed person. I am a depressed bitch. I grew up depressed and anxious, and that was just my norm for so long. And so it's just, first of all, we'll start there with the language, right? Bringing awareness to that language. I am not depressed. I am not my depression. I tend towards being in a depressed mood, in a depressed state. I have lived largely with a cloud of depression and anxiety over my being. But that does not mean that that is what I am. It is what I am experiencing. And I really, truly believe that that language does matter, that it does matter. And it's a both and, of course, and language with language, you can constantly be splitting hairs. So find what works for you. But that's just an invitation to perhaps be able to notice your own narrative around what's going on with you, especially if you're feeling a little lower than usual, perhaps experiencing a depressed episode. To just know, check in with yourself, is this like an identity that I'm carrying around? And am I able to kind of in any way, shape, or form disengage from that? Maybe yes, maybe no. And as I'm saying, for me, it's very much a both and. Yes, I have been depressed most of my life. I wouldn't be surprised if I was born into the world depressed due to knowing who my mother is and these things. But do I also believe that I have the power to take that off? Yes. Identities are like jackets, I feel like. And we get to put on and take off so many identities. And then there are the ones that we also cannot. And that is why I just invite you to get very, very specific and very, very curious, perhaps more curiosity than specificity, over these identities that we carry. And our responsibility that comes with the responsibilities that come with those identities at times. So anyway, I just really, maybe I'm going on a ramble a little bit, but I personally, I'm very careful about the identities that I choose to put on in the world. And always making space and holding space for the people who have similar identities that they can't take on or put off, because it's different for all of us, right? And so this is like where I'm like, let's just go down a little bit of a rabbit hole here, put a pin in that, a caveat in that, and talk a little deeper into that, is that I, like I've been saying here, I've grown up with depression in my being around me. And I really largely believed that I overcame it in my 20s. And that's probably also largely from the societal lens that depression is not normal and it's an imbalance and in the brain and it's something that you have to work through and overcome to like be different and better and normal, right? And so when 2020 hit, that year, I was thrown back into, and that was the year I turned 30 also, so I've, like, other factors, my Saturn return was right there, and I was just really thrown back to this place of depression that I had not experienced for a very long time, I was gonna say many years, I was gonna say maybe a decade, maybe since I was a teenager. All I know for sure is that it was an extremely long time. And I'm talking about the type of depression, not just like waves of depression, like, yes, I feel sad, whatever, but I'm talking about knock you down, on your ass, not sure why you want to be alive any further. Meant to put a content warning at the beginning of this. I'll try to remember that. And just truly, like, why the fuck? What the fuck? And I know that I'm not alone in that. hello, what did we face in 2020? A global pandemic. So just, first of all, experiencing that in and of itself, going back to a place that I just never thought that I would be. And it's become so curious to me about, okay, how do we continue to create these foundations within our lives of hope and a foundation within ourselves that we can lean on and that doesn't completely fall apart? And it's been really interesting experiencing that in 2020 with the growth that I had experienced all through my 20s and the awareness and everything that I had gained to be in that spot and to see all of the thoughts and to be experiencing it fully and to also have a different relationship with it. It didn't feel like it was necessarily going to last forever. It didn't feel like I had to give in to the ideations or anything like that. There was nothing real about it except for the experience itself, which is the most fascinating part of depression. And so fast forward 3 years, here we are now, and I'm experiencing some big shakiness coming up in my life due to family members being in the hospital. And my mother has been in the hospital for the last 6 months, and I've just this dawning on me personally that I am depressed. I've realized, like, holy shit, where does depression come from, first of all? I have always thought of and believed that depression is a calling of your own soul. I see this, like, hand reaching out from deep within you, calling out to you and reaching for you, saying, come back home. Are you here? Hello? And that is part of it. That's absolutely a giant piece of depression. That is how I have come to identify with depression. And oftentimes depression is, it's depression is a disconnection, largely from yourself. So that's the first point that I always ask people to check in with, especially with depression. But it can be hard to find ourselves when we've lost ourselves. And that is partially that this little piece here is literally what has really driven my entire career, is that how do we create a foundation, a structure, an anchor, a compass within ourselves that we can continue to come back to? Trauma language may say a secure attachment within yourself. How do you find this point in yourself that you can call home, then that you know how to show up and take care of yourself? But there are more than the relationship with yourself, which is so, so important. We have to have reservoirs of hope. Hope is something that is required for humans to feel a purpose in our lives. And you can, you know, get into the language however you want, switch out these words, hope, purpose, whatever feels best for you. But we have to have a vision and believe in something bigger and greater than ourselves in order to continue to feel a purpose of being alive. And this comes from many yogic texts. It comes from the trauma readings studies that I have done. It's not from any one particular source that I'm spewing this out. Feel free to research it yourself if you like, but this is what I have learned and been taught in my life, that we have to hold on to something that's greater than ourselves. And for me, nature has always been easy to lean into. I think I've always, like, I can personally know that there's something bigger going on in the world that just makes sense to me. Something bigger at play that I cannot name, but I know is absolutely there, and especially leaning into nature. That's where that is for me. And this little piece in and of itself, like realizing that you need to connect to something bigger than you, that may just be one start of your journey. That can take many years and layers to dive down through those depths and dig through. For me, like the first time I ever heard about something like that, I'm like, ooh, you're treading pretty closely on like God. Are you like subtly hinting towards a God? Like I was so on edge with the word God. Anytime somebody even mentioned the word, a song said the word, I literally disengaged. I was like, oh, that's it for me. Red flag, I'm out. I'll see if I can link a article that I wrote a long time ago called The Word God, that is literally this, me talking about my entire process with this word and how it's shifted. So, you know, if you're finding yourself like, what does she mean? Connection to something greater than yourself. And I had a friend that was also going to some AA meetings, and he had shared with me that, you know, a pen, for example, could be what you worship. It could, and you know, language again, I don't know if he said that, but we're just talking about that greater purpose, that higher power. It could be a goddamn pen if you want. I would argue that that it needs to have something that actually has meaning to you. So take that however you want. Always open to feedback and comments. Share. I love getting your brain tingling and thinking here. So yes, we first of all have depression as this calling back to ourselves. And then we're talking about a greater purpose, something greater and bigger than ourselves. That is one aspect of hope that is required for humans. But I would say that rather than just believing in something greater than yourself, you have to really have what I call reservoirs of hope. And I've heard this term used here and there, but I don't personally don't have experience with that specific term. So I don't know. Maybe I should have Googled it before I started recording. I don't know if that's like a specific framework of something somewhere. But here's what it all boils down to. Okay, I've been rambling for about 15 minutes. I have found myself back in a most depressed state that I have been in a long time, and I've kind of just woken up to realizing it. And because it's really easy to hide that from myself, because I am an Enneagram 7, and I'm somebody, like, especially having lived in that reality as a child, and I'm a Pisces, I'm like, whoo, I'm going to change my reality. How can I show up differently? The grass is always greener on the other side. Let's go forward. Keep moving. I'm not going to let this pain catch up with me. Are you fucking kidding me? Go, go, go. And I'm finally at a place in my life, in my early 30s, that I'm like, oh shit, okay. Being with discomfort and being with our pain is also a part of the human experience. So this is what I have, I want to share my, what I tap into, and I need to share this for myself as much as I want to share it for you as well, just in case you're out there, you're struggling, and you need to hear, fuck, goddamn, you're not alone, bitch, you are loved, you are supported, and this shit is normal. And I just want to be completely raw and honest about it. So I have found myself the most back in a depressed state that is really fucking challenging for me right now. And I've been thinking to myself, okay, I've been here before. This isn't new. I have absolutely no motivation. I don't want to do fucking shit. And I have so much amazing support and love and opportunity in my life personally at this time. I can look around. I can see the facts of that, even though my mind definitely trying to convince me otherwise. And with that, I'm like, okay, so how do I move out of this? How do I move out of this state? And not just like, I don't want to be feeling depressed anymore. Of course I don't. But how do I support and welcome that depression because it is here and let that fuel me to continue to be able to still show up in my life? And caveat, please, please, as much as you can, which I know is going to be different for all of us, I encourage you to rest. Can you please rest? Can you cash in on a sick day? Can you communicate with your loved ones that you need a mental health day? How can you take time for yourself to rest? And if you can't do that right now, how my next suggestion would be, how can you prioritize sleep? Get some extra sleep because that's really where your cells are recovering. And then, of course, there's even deeper caveats because a lot of times now, today, in our life, we find, oh, I actually can't rest. Oh, I'm actually anxious when I'm sleeping. So there's those are tips and tidbits for another day. But I am encouraging you to please try and tap into rest as best as you can. So when I think of this thing that is bigger and greater than us, yes, I said nature is where I started. And then due to various spiritual practices within myself and my life, this is what I have come to believe on a deeper level. If you really want to know my deeper belief of God, and this is beyond what I can explain. I'm not a quantum physicist or anything like this. But what I have come to believe in what we know about infinity and yeah, I'm going a little out there with sacred geometry and just time and space, Einstein's realizations about time and space itself, and even intuition. I have come to form a belief that I believe the universe is experiencing itself, that everything is a reflection in some way, shape, or form. And in that being said, I believe that we are of the earth here in this, on this planet. And that is just my belief in the way that things work in the world. And who knows, you know, there are so many different layers and questions you can ask or sit with in that, but that is the base layer for me. We are the universe experiencing itself. And with that, one of my reservoirs of hope is that joy is your birthright, simply because this is a human experience. So let's just say life was an accident that supposedly, who knows where and how DNA formed, and there's a lot of skepticism in the science of how life actually came to form on this planet. Supposedly, it's extremely improbable. And so if you're thinking about the chance of life not even being able to exist, that's a very improbable, very small chance of that. And then all of a sudden you're here as a human being. And let's say that there's literally no other point to life except to have this human experience. Then joy is your birthright. Joy is my birthright. You get to have this experience. And this experience, if we were able to have right environments, supportive environments for our well-beings, I do believe that we could tap into joy. Now, of course, there are very many intricate layers as to why joy or happiness may not be accessible to us, but I do believe that as a human being, it is our birthright to be able to live, your life to the fullest. What does that mean? To be able to enjoy your life. Enjoy. Your joy is your birthright. And in that also, there's another little reservoir of hope that comes with believing people are inherently good. Now, I've got to tell a couple stories with this. I took a self-awareness course, I guess it was only a year ago now. Is that true? Whoa. took a self-awareness for social justice with Dr. T. Williams, and one of the first things he taught us in that course is to be able to do liberatory work, activism type work, anti-racism work, to be able to show up and face these very deeply rooted institutionalized systems that, whether or not they were originally meant to cause harm, are causing a lot of fucking harm. What do you put in place in your life and within yourself to be able to show up and continue fighting that big fight without getting burnt out? And what he presented in that class is that you have to believe that people are inherently good. You must believe people are inherently good to be able to do this work from a liberatory framework. And that rocked the socks off of people. I still remember the look on a couple people's faces on Zoom. Like, I don't know why that's stuck in my head, but just really seeing like, whoo, oh shit. I even still get chills thinking about it today. And that's a really deep one to have to sit with. That's another one that, you know, dive into those depths and those layers and sort that out for yourself. But we have to believe that people are inherently good. And I do believe that at this time. I've told this story a few different times and places, but I think I was 19. I was driving down the highway with my boyfriend at the time, and I was going off about some bullshit, and he was like, well, I believe people are inherently good in the world. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, it completely shook up my entire reality, and I was just like, I don't know about that. And I think that was the very first tiny little pin that got put into my brain about that. And then I had quite a few random acts of kindness when I traveled for 9 months through Central America and Mexico in my early mid-20s. And there were quite a handful of just plain, pure people offering to help out that also instilled hope in me. And one of those side stories that I'll share is that my partner, different partner, and I, at that time, we had rented a motorbike and were driving around in Nicaragua, and this local behind us like flagged us down. And I don't know why I remember this so specifically, but I remember thinking in my head, like, this is either going to be the worst thing that happens and I'm going to remember this forever, or we're going to be good to go. And little did I know I was going to remember it forever no matter what. But he pumped up, like, language barrier, hardly knew what he was saying, decided to trust this person. I apparently have a very skeptical, cynical way of viewing the world. And I was like, what the fuck is this guy doing to our motorbike? But he pumped up the tire. He was somebody, just a random person following us on the road, saw that we were two tourists renting some motorbike that probably isn't upkept. And they're like, they need their tire pumped up, flagged us down to pull us over and pumped our tire up. And that was just one moment that really shifted things for me. That was a pivotal moment in my life. And I do now, from what I know about trauma and the way that things are passed down, I really do believe that people are inherently good. I believe that if we were all given supportive environments and similar tools, that we could be better. But that's not how the world works at all. And there's also sometimes, for some reasons, people that are just born with particular deficiencies also within their body, and just for whatever reason, like, their brain literally cannot work in this way because they don't have a particular function. And I'm talking about when we see, like, particularly serial killers and things like that, people that just have a deeper urge to kill. Now, that's not my specialty or anything like that. That's just like a little tiny piece of information that I think about with that. But I also believe in restorative justice. I believe in helping people come back from the harm that has been committed on them, and to also helping the people that are committing harm, because largely putting the serial killer anomaly aside, all of a sudden I'm like, I don't fucking know what anomaly means. I'm gonna have to look it up. Just setting that really big, that's like a, what am I trying to say? That's just like not the norm. You know, there's less serial killers in the world than there are just people perpetuating trauma. And I believe that we are now at a place in our lives and in society where we all are suffering from some kind of hurt and or trauma that has been passed down. And the other thing is that I believe that is really hard is that everyone is doing their best. And that can also fuck you up. And I'd even Google it. How do you believe that people are doing their best? But here's the thing. And I originally heard this from a Brené Brown book, and then I've heard it on a few podcasts too. And I help my clients work with this, mostly to believe it within themselves. But we all, you specifically, you're doing the best you can. Me, I'm doing the best I can. We're each doing the best we can with the tools that we have and the circumstances we've been given. Plain and simple. That doesn't mean I don't want something different. It doesn't mean that I don't know how to take care of myself, that I'm lazy, that I, like, you know, it's like, are you stressed out? Did you just live through a global pandemic? Do you have X, Y, and Z factors going on in your life? It's never just one thing. But then our society tells us, like, you just gotta do this stuff, A, B, and C, and you're gonna be fine. And it's like, actually, that's not entirely true, because we're actually living in a world that is quite unwell. So dismantling this idea of even getting well, how do we just learn to know ourselves and support ourselves exactly where we're at in the world right now? And I am just being reminded during this time exactly why I started this work and why I'm here. And it's because I want to bring hope to people that know these depths. And I want to also bring hope to people that feel like they can't get out. To know that you can be the change. To know that no matter what your circumstance is, you do get to figure it out and turn it around for yourself if you want to. And that's the thing that's really hard, is that we have to continuously want this and choose this. Because the world ain't encouraging it. It's so funny the way that the world is like, yeah, do your best, you got this. But it's so such like a false advertisement and the push up and like, everything's good. But it's like, no, we need to look at like the side effects of things and why certain things are happening. It's not a matter of, I know how to take care of myself now, you just gotta do it. Absolutely not. Can we please set aside that thinking? Because there are always so many more factors at play than we realize. And the older we get, the further along in our journeys and our lives, those things just keep piling on and on. And that can be very stressful, you know? Life never stops. But this is what I have learned. When you take the time to get to know yourself, you get to change the way time feels and interacts with you. Because when you bring your awareness to yourself and you start supporting yourself and showing up in your life differently, things just start to also be different in your life. It's like, did Albert Einstein say it? When I, things, the things, let me look up this quote, damn. Okay, I honestly thought Albert Einstein said this, but it's a quote from Wayne Dyer, who was a very interesting guy and opened up my mind to many, many things, but he was also a pretty out there spiritual teacher. And when I say out there, you know, it's hard. Spirituality can become easily ungrounded in this reality and ungrounded in humanity. And I'm all for the spectrum, and I'm all for exploring and getting out there. I just like to give that a caveat to some people as they go and explore. But Dr. Wayne Dyer says, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And that is something that, I mean, it could it be word salad, or could it actually be something that has a little bit of truth in it? When you change the way you look at things, when you show up in your life differently, your life starts to become different. The things you look at change. I think that there is some truth in this that has personally resonated with me. And I just personally wanted to leave you this quick half hour episode today to just share honestly about where we find ourselves sometimes, because I think wellness, especially the wellness industry, is just all about positivity to no end these days. And you cannot have those highs without allowing yourself to be in the lows. When you see happy people, I hope you know that happiness like that doesn't just fucking exist. Like, truly happy and generous people are the ones that have known the deepest depths of grief and sadness. And then, of course, there comes with learning how to tell or know if someone is authentically happy or just putting on a face, you know? All of this to just say, I believe in you. And I hope you believe in yourself, because you need to. If you're going to make it through this, you have to believe in you. You have been with you this entire time. You've been through some really fucking hard shit, and you're going to fucking figure this out, okay? Now, I want to invite you to lean into whatever your reservoirs of hope are. And I personally, my reservoir of hope about people being inherently good has been depleted lately. And that scared me a little bit to realize, because yes, there is some darkness alive in the world right now. And I had this beautiful conversation with one of my best friends yesterday. And we were talking about how, because I was like, it's sucking the good out of people. And she's like, do you think it's sucking the good out of them, or do you think it's suppressing them? And I believe everything exists on a spectrum, and it's always a both and. And I do believe that they're on the very darkest end of that spectrum, that people really are losing the good in them, and that we are seeing bigger breaks in mental illness and mental psychosis, and all of these things in that deeper dark end of the spectrum. But I believe in the human spirit. I believe that we are so fucking resilient, and that there are so many layers before we get to that deep dark depth end of that spectrum. And before you get to that deep dark end of the spectrum, where I believe the goodness is being sucked out, we do have the suppression and we do have the oppression. And I believe that it is so key for us to believe that people have goodness within them, but they need support. They need the right kind of support and the right kind of love, the right kind of connection, the right kind of environment to be able to unlock that from within themselves. And of course, that journey and the way that you show up for it in your life and in the world is so individual, right? There's no right or wrong way, just the way that you choose to do it. I personally am choosing to do it by building bridges. I want to know and cultivate relationships with people in a lot of different worlds from mine, people that have complete different views and perspectives. I want to know how to hold space and how to truly understand where others are coming from. And so I bring it back to this final thoughts. Yes, we are all just a tiny little human being. This is what I think to myself. I'm just a tiny little human being. I feel tiny and insignificant, and I have to believe that I am making a difference in the lives of people that I talk to, in the people that I meet every day. Tiniest little bits, littlest encounters really has the power to turn someone else's day around. And even though my reservoir of hope for believing that people are inherently good is being drained at this time, and I just explained the spectrum in which I believe that it lives, I'm turning into that other reservoir of hope and remembering that I get, like, it's my birthright to enjoy this life. This is my life. I get to enjoy it. And so many last little tidbits just coming in here. In the reclamation of realizing, like, I get to live my life. I get to create my life. It's my birthright to enjoy my life. And that means that joy and grief, happiness and sadness, the highs and the lows, they can exist at the same time. Mind blown. If everything is on a spectrum, there's always a both and. Can we hold the duality of life in our hands and choose to continue showing up? I hope that you believe that there is goodness out there. I hope that you can believe in yourself. And please, 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 I hope that you keep going. You are loved. You are supported. Cheers, friends.
Wait a minute. It's the outro. I just want to take a quick moment to say thank you so much for being a part of this self-care creature movement. This is a movement for individuals, our communities, the planet. If you're looking to dive deeper into our community, the best place to start is with our free mini courses, or you can consider joining our SCC membership where you get access to all courses, all benefits, free for 5 days, and then it's a simple quarterly membership. We also have many more online and in-person offerings. You can join our email list to stay up to date, or just check out, you guessed it, the Self-Care Creature website, selfcarecreature.com. You can also be a part of the conversation and help form what this podcast is all about. Simply just go to the feedback form in the notes below where you can ask questions and share your thoughts. Lastly, we're gonna ask, would you please leave a review on whatever platform you're on right now? We would really love the help to find more creatures in the world just trying to learn to take care of themselves. Thanks for being here, and thanks for taking care of you.